You're listening to the Pete and Sebastian Show on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Petey! Biscuit, it's Jimmy from Boston. Bisc, if you kick the bucket, I want to make sure you put your old pal JFB in the dust folder, man. I need to get a pair of those size 9s of yours. I want to tie them together old school and toss them over the telephone line in the neighborhood. You know what? Come to think of it, nobody's going to see those tiny fuckers up there, huh? Looking like two grapes hanging from a vine. You know what? Fuck it. I'm good. Later. Petey, what? Did you actually think I wasn't going to bring up the binoculars? I mean, I have heard a lot of bullshit in my day, but blaming the fucking birds so you can spy on the horny dude next door? That is some creepy and fucked up shit, kid. It would be less creepy if you were to rub one out during goddamn Christmas dinner, you fucking animal. Holy shit, have you got some issues, kid. What a...
You and me, we wanted it all. We wanted it all. Passion without pain. Sunshine without rainy days. We wanted it always. You and me, we reached for the sky. The limit was high. I should have seen it in your eyes. Look how all our dreams came true. See how I've got me, and baby, you've got you. Throw it all, just one thing died. A little thing called love, something deep inside.
What's up?
What's up? What's your problem?
What's my problem? I'm, what?
Yeah, see, I'm not the only one who thinks that you have a problem, huh?
Mr.
What?
What's Lon saying?
Go in the bedroom.
He's got an attitude right now.
He does, right, Lon? I love you for saying that. I thought it was me.
What the attitude? I didn't even say anything yet.
It's
what's wrong? He sensed it on the get-go.
My God, I needed a blanket to get the frost off.
Well, I've been on edge today. Well, we'll get into it.
By the way, hello, Lon. It's great to hear your voice.
She can't hear you, but Pete says hello.
Hello, Pete.
I said it's great to hear your voice. That's even better than a hello.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. The exact phrase was, it's great to hear your voice. It wasn't a hello. It was more than that.
It was.
I appreciate that.
Hey, yeah. Well, now you made it weird. Bro, we don't even need to do the clap. The show started. I already got the recording going on the Skype. This is going to be heard.
Oh, come on, man.
Well, I mean, this is, people need to know. This is like right out of the gate. This is what I got to
deal with. I didn't say nothing. I was like, hey, I'm like, hey, what's up? And as I was answering the Skype, I was looking at a text, so my mind wasn't there yet.
Well, I'll wait till you start.
Yeah, clap it up.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
Baby, you and me. Wanted it all.
Pete and Sebastian. Sebastian Show. We're already into it. You might have even heard the beginning of what we're talking about. But right out of the gate, folks, I don't know where you are or what you're doing, but I'm just saying, put on some thick skin, maybe get a blanket on you, because the frost coming off of Sebastian tonight, the chill.
Well, sorry if I came off that way, but I went to go see my accountant today, and I'm just going to make a blanket statement that the state of California is completely raping me, and the federal government should be ashamed of themselves.
So what are we talking, one more year till you can buy your own private island off the coast of Bahamas? No, I hear you, dude. I hear you, right? I mean, I don't hear you because I'm not paying what you're paying in taxes, but dude, right?
Oh, God, yeah. So I had to shake that off today. And then just a lot of bouncing back and forth. So you, little on edge, man. Little on edge. And my accountant lives 25 miles away, or his office is about 25 miles away from me. So that's a long ride on the 101 coming back to the house, thinking about, you know, how much money you got to cut these thieves.
Players want to play, 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 play. Haters want to hate, 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 hate. But you just got to shake it off. Shake it off.
Wow.
That's it. Shake it off. You pay those taxes. You shake it off. We're back here. I hear what you're saying, bro. It's an outrage. The good news is I'm already calling him President Trump. I'm just skipping all the fucking red tape. All going to come back to you next year, big time. 2 years from now, you get it all back. All back.
Refund.
You're
going to get the Trump refund.
To a freelancer living from gig to gig, will pay more than 15% of their business income in taxes. Big reduction.
Come on, you're skipping right over the main deal here. Can we get into the Buffalo J.J. Watt experience? Been dying over here.
My God. Mike, dude, I was saving it for like the right moment, but...
No, we're getting it right in. Diving in, man.
Let me just start by... saying it backwards, like, let me say the last thought first, just to give you an idea. By the time I left the presence of J.J. Watt, for the short, brief moment I got to meet him, dude, I'm pretty cocky, you're pretty cocky, and behind closed doors, I rarely think I've ever come across a man, I tell my wife, as cool as me, as, like, manly as me, you know?
Yeah.
The ones that I feel that way about are the friends in my life. That night, that day I left and I came across a better man than me, dude.
It's
what is the deal with that guy? That's presidential material.
I think it is, man. Can you...
All right. So we all know about the back and forth about when me and Sebastian last show, and we were talking about, will he be able to meet me? Will he not? And then, oh, we didn't even get to the text yet,
no,
right?
No.
Oh, my God. So, well, you saw the text. I mean, maybe you can better explain it, because when you called it, the detail from that text was just mind-blowing.
Yeah, the text came in from Watt on a thread, basically explaining in detail how J.J. Watt conducts himself after a football game. And it was, hey, if you want to come, you can meet me where, you know, the family and friends station are. I could take a photo. We could chat between 2 and 5 minutes. And then I get on the bus, and I know you got to get back to your little baby. Totally up to you. If you want to do this, fine. If you don't, no sweat off my chin. And, I don't know. I was sitting there reading that. I go, did he type this, or was that one of those voice dictation texts? It had to be a voice, no? The man's thumbs, I don't think, could do that.
Well, I mean, a man like that, wouldn't you think he has a custom cell phone? Did they do that for oversized hands? I mean, after everyone first commented on the photo that they saw Jackie and I take with Watt, the first comment was usually everyone like, wow, that's a handsome guy there right there. My father goes, looks like a goddamn gospel boy. I want to hug him through the phone, right? So, and then my mom, because we're having dinner tonight, my mother goes, and he's really good. My father's going, Pat,
He's a beast. He's the best defensive player. Look at the... Right? So, anyway, having said all that, even if he did dictate it, just the spoken word, he literally says, Pete, let me tell you what goes on after the show, I mean, after the game, and then you can make an informed decision if you want to hang out, right? And he says everything, and like you said, I have between 2 to 5 minutes to get on the bus, and listen, if you got to get home and get back to Sadie because of the babysit, I mean, and dude, I have close friends that still say the kid, the baby, the child. He doesn't even know me, and he's saying Sadie and Jackie. Like, total class.
Yeah.
It's insane. So he goes, and then at the end of all that, you would think, okay, well, now he's leaving it to me. But he even adds, he goes, having said all that, I would love to meet you, take a quick photo if you want to. My brothers listen to the cast. They're fans. I'm sure they'd love to meet you, too. And, you know, and it's just like, I'm done. It's done. It's done. I mean... I'm thinking, bro, about 20 years from now, we got like a Sinatra, Dean Martin situation. You being the Sinatra lead where you get the big damn house. Watt'll be about, what, 44, 45. We head the presidential campaign run.
Oh, God. We produce the convention.
We'll be playing bocce ball with a case of beers on the White House lawn by 65 years old, man.
I'm telling you. Do you think he could possibly get himself into Congress while playing NFL football? I can see this happening.
Well, you know, he says to Jackie and I also in the text, this is where I come out through the tunnel. This is where you should be if you know when you meet me, and I'll be right here. And he goes, it takes me normally 45 minutes to an hour to get through. So we fumble around a little, but we still get there early. Dude, 25 minutes later, after the final whistle, 25 minutes later, he's through the tunnel outside, only player out there looking for Jackie and I, in a fitted, you sort of suit, looking ridiculous. My perception of these guys after the game is like their fingers are hanging off, they can't breathe, they're unrested. He's ready to go get a martini, right? So there's no reason why he can't pop into a late-night Congress meeting right then and there. He looked fantastic.
Oh, no. The way he looked in the suit, he could have presented a bill for a new highway. So he comes out of the tunnel.
Right. So we got to go down. It says to go down to the main field level. He says right by the tunnel. And he goes, and then you're actually going to go out onto the field. And then I'll be coming out of that tunnel.
Okay, do you have credentials? How does that work?
No, I have no credentials. I just got my ticket. And I'm saying to Jackie, Jack, we're going out on the field. We're going out on the field. You know, of course, we go down there. And, there's no guy by the door, leading down the gate that leads down to the field. We're right in front of the field now. Everyone else is, pretty much gone from the stadium. Except people like us. There's, maybe 40, 50 people by us. Looking to maybe get autographs. And then there's a bunch of kids and stuff on the field that clearly, they won some contest or they're part of some corporate thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no security guard, right by the gate looking. I'm trying to make eye contact. No one's looking over. And I'm like, I'm starting to think this ain't happening, right, you know?
Yeah.
Plus, they lost, so there's that in the air. For all I know, Watt's in the locker room. When I lose, I bail on everybody.
Yeah.
But still, he comes out, right? And right away you hear guys go, what? And he doesn't look up because, I guess, he doesn't want to start a whole thing where he's got to sign his own autographs. So I go to yell my name, and I'm like, I don't know how he's going to know my voice from them. But I'm like, JJ! And he looked right up, and he says to the security guard, there he is. There's a guy right there. And he goes, you guys. And he's very businesslike. Come right around. So me and Jackie come around. And you know how we joke when sometimes, even on our level, when someone goes to meet us or they can't get the camera ready and then they get nervous?
Yeah,
So, dude, you just think you're never going to be that guy? He's like, you ready to do a photo? So we go to line up for the photo, and he's like, And he's like, okay, you guys got to give him. He's like, looking at me and Jackie. He's like, you guys got to give him the camera. And we're like, oh my God, I'm that guy. I put my arm around him without taking my camera.
Oh my God. Did you stop? Did you, three of you were just looking into nothing?
Well, no, because then I look over to Jackie to be like, Jack, get your phone out. She's looking at him and going, thanks for all you do for the cast. It's really, I'm like, what do you act like he's on every other week doing a sports segment? What are we saying? I got no camera. You're saying things that don't even make sense. Well, right before we meet him, I got the ski cap on. I forgot about that. I go to take it off. Jackie's like, oh my God, your hair's a mess. You got to do the ski cap. I'm like, oh man, what am I meeting him at the lift in Aspen on the ski lift?
I got to tell you though, I saw the photo with the ski cap and come on, man.
I fucked up, right?
At this age... Maybe some earmuffs? I don't know, man. It's...
Guy, all right, listen. I can imagine being a defensive beast in the NFL, getting hit and pushed 3 hours in a Sunday afternoon has got to be grueling. But standing or sitting in 50-degree weather without moving for 3 hours, that's no walk in the park either, bro. No, you think 50-degree weather is no big deal. It catches up to you.
I hear you, but you know, you're gonna look back at that photo and tell your kids, this is look at me and JJ Watt, and Sadie's gonna go, you wore a hat? I mean, he was in a suit. No, there was no jacket, no gloves, no hat, nothing the man came out in.
I know. I mean, bro, we're gonna be on a whole presidential campaign run 20 years from now anyway. You think I'm gonna get photos then? So yeah. So it was just, to J.J. Watt, man, I can't, I mean, your level of class is just beyond anything, man. I'm so grateful, and, you know, as I said in my text to him, that Jackie said when we were having dinner afterwards, boy, talk about showing our age. She goes, you can just tell he was raised by great parents. He has great parents. And that's what I say to him in a text. Oh, my God, I'm trying to be the guy's friend, and I'm going, you got great parents. I'd love to hang out with Frank and Jane if they're ever available.
I'm looking at Watt saying, you know, it was fun meeting you. Let me know if your parents ever want to go play Mahjong with me and Jackie.
Oh, yeah.
No, but the guy was just raised flawless.
It's amazing, man. It's his parents should come out with a book of how to raise a child, because this is the result of it. It's amazing.
Yeah. By the way, his brothers aren't a fan of me. They apparently must only be a fan of you and your work on the cast, because I didn't see any other Watt anywhere remotely close to that location. So I think he said, yeah, Corielli's here. And they go, no, we just only like Sebastian. On the he goes, all right, well, hold up. I got to run out of the tunnel. And say,
yeah, we're going to be in the bus. That's good stuff. Where are you at? You're at the, because you wanted to cancel today. You wanted to push it back to tomorrow, and, you know, I had no problem with that, man. If you're with the parents and you wanted to, like, hang with them, by all means.
Yeah, no, I know. You were cool about it, but the thing is, I can't. Tomorrow night I have a show. I meant during the day. It's in the hat, Jack. And you can hold one sec. And you can, oh. I thought it meant during the day tomorrow.
Again with the hat. What's in the hat? The hat you wore to the game.
What hat? What do you? No, not that hat. It's a different hat. Jackie's in the. My toiletry bag's over here, Jack. Sorry, Sebastian. How often does this happen? The same show, both wives.
I know. What does she got to get out of your toiletry bag?
Yeah. What do you got to get out of my toiletry bag, Jackie? Saline solution, bro. We go contact lenses. We haven't done the laser.
Oh, okay. Saline. Okay, so if you leave on a trip with the saline solution, what does she do?
Bro, saline solution's like $3 a bottle, man. We got lots of saline solution.
But she's going in your bag to get it.
Because that you have not brought a product for the house in 15 years.
Jackie said, Pete has not bought a product for the house in 15 years. She's the best.
To toothpaste, to milk, to toilet paper, to saline.
You don't buy nothing?
No, I haven't, dude, I haven't cooked, I haven't even fried an egg
Wow.
In 15 years.
Are you kidding me?
No, nothing.
You don't go to Target?
What, Target? What do you mean go to Target? I go, like, sometimes I'll go with Jackie and hang out, but I haven't bought myself a piece of clothing in about 10 years, wow, like, alone by myself. toilet paper, paper towel, none of that, man.
Wow, that's fascinating.
I got good staff.
Oh, man.
All right, she just left the room. The hat is the baseball hat that has the Ciccone to get you through the evening when you go back downstairs. And that's all I'll say because my sister's listening to this shit now. It's crazy. The show is it's getting too big. It's getting too popular, bro. I can't even say what I want to anymore on the show.
Oh, it's catching on, man.
It is.
And we haven't even talked. Did we talk about the Marin Hang?
No.
What?
Well, I want to do a flip and flap because I got Marin on here too.
No. I got to get into this because I saw the Pete and you were discussing that you and Marin were listening to albums. How does that work, man? Is that something that people do?
Yeah. Well, you got... It's the thing with Marin for me though is like when I started out I was like pretty early in and then I saw Marin perform and he was always one of my favorites, like just I learned a lot watching him and knowing him through the years, so it was like a bit of a pedestal thing for me. So then, you know, when I go in though, as soon as I walk in and he's at his dining room table and you could tell he's kind of frazzled. And he's like, hey, what's up? And he's like, good to see you again. You know, sitting there. He goes, let me quick show you the house. And, right away he's showing me the house. And I notice he's got all these records, and we start talking about records. And then somehow, I forget how we get on it, but the next thing you know, I'm like, yeah, dude, Aerosmith's got one tune called You See Me Crying. And I'm telling the story in the Aerosmith book. Steven Tyler is so wasted that when they get the band is getting back together, they're still on drugs, but they're not on as many drugs. And the DJ trying to get the band back together is playing Aerosmith tunes so that maybe they'll hear their own music and be more hopped up. But they're so loaded and stuff, they're hanging out. And one time the song You See Me Crying comes on, and it's such a good song. Steven Tyler turns to Joe Perry and goes, dude, if we do get back together, we should cover that song. Joe Perry goes, that is us, you dummy. That's you singing, and that's a 100-piece band you made us bring in. So the Marin's like, I got that record, man. And then he pulls it out, and, you know, he's got this crazy nice record player. And right away, I'm like, oh, yeah, we're just talking records and stand-up comedy albums, and I got albums. And next thing you know, he throws on the Aerosmith album, and we both sit back on the couches, and he just cranks it. And we just both sit back, and you're doing that little half rock as you're listening. It's like a 6-minute song. And once in a while, I look up at him and I give him that look like, yeah, it sounds great, you know?
What?
And then a couple times, like, I'd sing a little bit of it, you know? Though we both lay close together, we're really miles apart inside. Was it something I said or something I did? Did my words not come out right? Woo! Anyway, yeah, we sat on the couch and we're cranking that whole song. You see me crying.
Wow.
And I don't know. And then after the song, we're bullshitting some more. And I look at him and I go, and I'm looking around his house and I go, Marin, man, fucking all those years when you're playing in front of half-packed rooms and no one's there and you know you're funny. I go, well, isn't this is just fucking validation, man. Isn't this just like, fuck, I knew I was onto something. And he's like, let's go fucking do it, man. Come on, let's go in the other room. Let's go. And then we go in there, and we're just going and going. We end up going for over an hour. And I think I could have gone a little longer, but I had a flight. I don't know, man. I should have not worried about that. Well, he says hello and all that good stuff, and it was fun, man. It was
yeah,
a lot of fun.
It's been good week for you on the podcast. It's sprung our shit up to 50 on iTunes after the Bill Burr thing. And now we got this second punch coming in sometime in January with Marin's cast. We could be number one by the end of February.
You see me crying. What else you got on the horizon, man? We got any huge Sebastian news?
Huge Sebastian news. I went last night to see The Weeknd, and I know you don't know this guy. You had to look him up. But he is a pop singer extraordinaire. He's a protege of Drake, and he's got like a voice, and he sounds like Michael Jackson. So he came to the LA Forum last night, and I got some tickets through a contact of mine, and we invited another couple to go. And so we go. I'm not a big concert guy, but I wanted to see this guy in concert, and I also am looking at some stage setups so I can get some ideas for my special. I want to see kind of what people are doing in regards to production.
That's so funny to me, man. That just speaks volume where you're at, you know? Most comics will go, yeah, you know, I went back and looked at what Paul Reiser did for his 1983 album. Meanwhile, you're going to a concert for The Weeknd at the L.A. Forum. No, I want to see what they do with the fire and the smoke machine.
Oh, listen, there was some pyrotechnics. I would never do pyrotechnics for comedy, but there's something to be said about, and listen, stand-up is all about stand-up. There's a guy, there's a camera, and that's it. You go. So there's really nothing in the back. There's no explosions. There's no screens. There's none of that stuff. However, I see special after special after special, and I don't know, nothing really pops out at me in regards to the production value of it. So with this next special, I want to have some production involved with it. So that's why I'm going to these concerts. Also, I like the guy's voice. He's got a cool vibe to him. But I got to tell you, man.
Yeah.
First of all, tickets are at will call. There's always a portion of me that feels like when I go up to will call that the tickets ain't going to be there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. More than 50%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And plus, if it's just Lana and I and the tickets are there, that's one thing. But I have another couple. So the couple that we hang with is a real cool couple. They're parents. They just have a newborn. They're another one on the way. And they're kind of piped in. So if they ever invited us to a concert, I kind of know that the seats would be good. Because you have this element when you get invited to a concert. And I actually asked him last night, I said, when I invited you to this, did you at all go, I wonder where the seats are? I mean, that would be the first thing I would think, no?
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't say that if you asked me about that from you. I'd be like, no, I just wanted to see if we were free, because I just love hanging out with you, Lana, no matter where the seats were. Why?
Yeah, but then you would go to Jackie, I wonder where the seats are at. There's got to be.
Absolutely. I just wouldn't admit it to you if you asked me.
No.
Because it's rude.
Yeah. So before I picked up the seats, I looked at them online, and I got to tell you, seats weren't really, I wasn't really feeling it. I'm like, really? This is where I'm sitting? Now, I can't tell you who I got the tickets from, but based on who I got the tickets from, I thought I would be on the floor.
You probably thought, I should wear comfortable shoes. I may get called up to like background dance through half a number. Right? Like one of those where they pull anyone out of the audience. Come on up. You thought you were going to be in the mix.
I thought I was going to be in the mix. I thought the weekend sweat might have got on my forehead.
Bro, can we all... We all got to take a moment off of that one. That may have broke a record. That broke a record.
No, what I'm saying is...
it's been said. You said what you said.
So. I know. I said what I said. I just thought I was going to be a little bit closer. So when we got to our seats, I'm sitting around people that got ankle bracelets, man. I mean, this is like... first of all, we're the only ones not smoking pot. Is this something that people do on a regular basis? Is just bring a joint to a concert and start smoking? I mean, We were getting contact high. The poor lady that we came with's pregnant. I'm thinking, that's a miscarriage tonight. I mean, what the hell's going on with the pot?
Who's getting a miscarriage from secondhand pot smoke at a weekend concert? Oh, my.
Just saying.
I came too hard on you with the sweat one. You were just trying to say you wanted to be up close. So
wait. I got to cut you off. I'm getting stared at with my wife. What did I say now? That's aggressive.
You were saying maybe the baby would come out creative.
Oh, the women are ruining the show.
Oh my God.
Holy, we got both ends.
Lana said last night.
I was excited to tell them to listen to the podcast, but now I feel like that is an aggressive statement.
Wait a minute. Lana's giving me shit over the fact that I said that it was going to be a miscarriage due to the amount of pot. And she goes, that's very aggressive. I was going to have them listen to this show, and now I can't because you said that. Is that bad?
No, let's just not have them listen to the show because I don't want to edit that, man. I just want to go to Baltimore tomorrow.
Okay.
We don't even need them. We got too many listeners as it is. I mean,
we're top 50. Who needs a listener?
Yeah. I mean, I got my sister. She's going to be calling me tomorrow going, I heard about the hat at the house by the window. So we already got that to contend with. But yes, dude, yes. Everybody but you is doing that. I don't know. I've never been to a weekend concert. But when you went to see Billy, when you went to see Michael back in the day, were they lighting up then?
No.
Because you said with Michael.
I'm sorry, but you got to go in the bedroom. I can't.
I was seeing if you were.
Huh?
I didn't know if you were still talking to me. That's why I was.
That's so hard to do the show like that. I know. I've been there.
Yeah,
it is,
man. It is.
You need to take 10?
No, I'm good.
I know. Jackie does that too. She hovers over the seat.
Yeah, it's like a hover.
She'll go, I just don't know why you would say that. It's like, I mean.
I don't know.
But Jack, I'm doing the show, Jack.
I feel like we should be isolated when we do the show.
I do too. I absolutely do too, man.
But anyway, there's pot all over the place.
Right.
And
right.
People are not even watching the concert. They're videotaping it through their cell phone. And I'm like, what? Everybody's on the phone, man. No one's really enjoying the moment.
Well, when you told me you were going to see these guys, so then I Googled them when you and I were doing a little text back and forth.
Yeah.
And I told you I was blown away at how much he sounded like Michael.
Yeah.
And then you said, but he can't dance like Michael.
No, he can't. Nobody
now,
can.
I love the way you talk about Michael Jackson. I really do. And you have seen a Michael Jackson concert live. And I'm just asking you, if The Weeknd's talent level was at Michael's level, do you think people would put the cameras down and stop smoking? Or do you think that's just, even Michael today, they'd be doing that?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe this is something people do at concerts, and I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying.
No, you are. You're missing the show. You're missing
the show, man. So I was a little alarmed at the amount of people that were not really watching what was going on. Although the guy's voice is pretty damn good. I don't know. Maybe I'm old, man. Maybe I'm getting old. I mean, you know you're old when you turn to your wife and the other couple and you go, hey, do you guys want to leave early to beat traffic?
Well, listen, man, I'm trying to juggle a lot of balls here, so I can't even make fun of that. The fact that you went to see The Weeknd, I don't even have time to address that in and of itself, let alone the Bieber thing that you threw at us two shows ago at the end. I wanted to ask you, if right now we ask Lou to play like the Bieber tunes you're listening to, right? Like, can you play for me a little bit of like what's got you going by Bieber? And what are you working out to this stuff?
No, man, I just had it kind of playing in the background one day, and I'm like, it ain't too bad, man. He's got a song called Children.
So Bieber. Ain't too bad, like you heard it once, or did you download it? You've been listening
to it? I downloaded the album.
Oh, man.
Listen, I know this is not a popular thing to say, and I could have kept that to myself.
You could have. I appreciate it.
But if you guys, the listeners, want to tune in, to a good song, and I'll give you a little sample of it right here, man.
I'll give it a fair shake.
You hear this? You hear this?
A little lower, a little lower, a little lower. Oh my, that's...
Come on, man.
What?
Come on.
Bro, that's so bad.
Okay, it's gonna kick into the yeah, it's dancing, man.
Who's dancing? You dancing?
I'm dancing to this.
Where? You dancing? Where are you dancing these days?
Oh,
in your house?
Here's the big dance moves. Right here. Oh yeah. Come on, man. You don't feel that?
Oh my god, dude.
Hold on, I gotta shut it down. Hold on. I gotta put the headphones back on. Hold on. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Look at this guy's documentary. I'm not saying this guy is behaving correctly as a human being and as an adult.
I don't like the sound. I don't like the sound.
But the guy's got some talent. The guy plays the drums, he plays the pianos, and the guy could sing. That's all. Okay, he might be a little loose cannon when he's hanging out with his buddies, but some of the stuff he does ain't bad.
No. You know what I feel right now? I don't feel miserable or angry. I don't feel good or bad. I feel nothing.
All right, listen, he's talented. I shouldn't have said that. He's just, it's not my taste at all. But I do have to say, back to the dancing thing, when you say it makes you dance, like, you don't go dancing anymore. I know
that,
right?
I break out in dance moves every once in a while around the house.
That's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah.
You. That's like, I ordered the code red. That's what I wanted to hear. You did do that. You did. You're dancing in your house.
I got video. Lana took video the other day, and I'll send it over. I'm debating on putting this on the page, by the way, of me dancing to a song.
You know how many times somebody told me I was good in my life? Two fucking times. This race today and dancing at the disco.
I'll send it over to you, man. You tell me.
I'd love to. And listen, while we're talking about video of you and stuff, I mean, maybe this is no big deal to you, and it's something, but I got sent something from a fan of the show. I can't remember the name. Thought you might want to see this, Pete. It's almost as if, like, your husband and wife, and years later the wife finds an old love letter or something and goes, did you think I wasn't going to find this?
Yeah.
But it was you at the end of the Vince Vaughn tour.
Yeah.
And you were saying how grateful you were for it, which was coming from the heart.
Yeah, yeah.
But you broke out crying.
Yeah.
And then Vince Vaughn has to, like, touch your shoulder.
Yeah.
As you finish what he's saying. Yeah. I got the clip. I didn't know if I could bring it up with you, man. I didn't want to make an edit.
Oh, yeah. I love that moment.
Bro.
What do you mean?
When that was sent to me, I literally called Jackie, and I'm like, Jack, you got to come see this. You got to. Oh, and I haven't shown it to anyone since, but I'm glad we could
go
public.
Put that up on the page. That was a moment. I had my buddies on the premiere of that movie. My buddies came down from Chicago to Los Angeles for the premiere. We're watching this in a theater of 1,200 people. I start crying. My buddies are laughing. They're like, what are you doing, man? You're crying?
And the way Vince Vaughn is touching your shoulder as you cry. First of all, it looked like a scene out of Old School. When you're one of the guys in the crew, but nevertheless, he's touching your shoulder, and you know in his head he's like, "Oh, this is so great for the documentary."
I know. That's what he was thinking. I'm thinking that too. I go, "Oh, here we go. I'm sentimental, Sebastian. Hello, we got layers."
The pause where the crying comes in, and then when you go, "It's just." No one's ever given me a break before.
No one gave me a break before.
That's because you used to stink, and now you're good. and now you're getting stuff. That's how it works. You don't get breaks when you're selling satellite dishes at the mall to the urban people.
Right? Because that was the end of the 30 days. I had to go back to the Four Seasons, or I thought I was going to go back to the Four Seasons. And it all caught up to me, man. It was a moment. It was in my hometown, Chicago. I had my family, my friends there. And I'm a sentimental guy.
Oh, God. You've done more for Chicago than Oprah, Michael Jordan, and the Cubs combined. Can we do one show without a Chicago reference? Holy. It was in my hometown of Chicago.
Yeah, I'm busting. Throw that out there, man.
No, that's your sensitive side, man. That's what separates you, man.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, getting back to this, when you went to see The Weeknd and the big stage, it's even like The Garden. You know, you're the kind of guy, not only can you pull this off, but you can pull this kind of stuff off because of the kind of comedy you do in a way that's never been done before. Like, you know how, like, U2 and them will have, like, the runway? I've never seen U2, but I've seen them on TV and stuff, where they'll come down a long runway and he'll sing one whole song for a section.
Like, oh, in a, yeah. Yeah.
Why can't you be the first one to have that? So, like, you go at 20 minutes in, I go down that runway. I do the Orangina for the whole right side of the arena. Then I bang a left, I go down to the other end, and I hit him with the, you know, my dad on the computer with the mouse. And you're just all over the arena.
Good ideas, man. These are good ideas. And I tell you, I have an idea that had popped into my head, and it's my helicopter idea for this special. And I'm gonna throw it out there. Okay, opening act goes up. He leaves. It goes black. It stays black for about, I'd say, a good 20 seconds. Get like a little stir in the crowd. There's music playing. I don't know what it is exactly. Lights are kind of flashing. I don't know the pattern of the lights yet, nor do I know the color of the lights. And then, like, a glass breaks, or you hear, like, a shatter. And I pop up from the stage. I come through hydraulics.
Seen it. What are you saying? From underneath?
Yeah!
A lot of rock bands have done that.
I know. Has a comedian done it?
Oh, no. I guess not, but I'm... I don't know. I don't think you need to. I think you could do something that's never been done before at all.
I've seen that. I've always wanted to do it. I don't think it could. But I do it. But I make fun of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, that's.
I mean, I'm not serious about it. I just pop out of the stage and, you know, I get, what the? I don't know, man. It's because the entrance is always the. I hate walking on stage from the side, from the center. I hate it. If you popped up out of the stage, no. You're not feeling that.
I'm not feeling it. But this, like I said, I've seen it, and now we're discussing it. So then what? So then if everyone's expecting it, then we're going to be, here he comes. Listen,
I know what I'm doing. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying.
I know you're not.
It was an idea.
No, I didn't love it. I didn't love it. Okay. What if you did this that you're not going to do, but if you did this, you're seated, like, you know, in the crowd, dead center. Got your head down, totally. Maybe got a few people on either side of you so people don't realize it's you. Then the show's about to start. The first guy gets off, lights go down. All of a sudden, it's totally dark, and there's one sharp spotlight that hits your seat right there, and you're sitting in the seat with the mic, and right away you're like, whatever the first bit is, maybe you're like, it's about the people, but you, the first bit right out of the gate, you're sitting in the seat right there among them.
Could work.
What about wardrobe changes throughout, like a Madonna concert?
Now you're talking, man.
Has that been done?
I don't think so. I don't think that's been done before.
You got a lot of time.
I know what I'm doing, though. I know what I'm doing.
Oh, cool.
It's gonna be good.
I'm sure. I look forward to it, man.
It's gonna be good. What was I gonna tell you? Man, I got a stomachache. I got some. I put together a little holiday gift. ideas for our listeners.
Really?
Yeah.
That's nice of you, man.
Yeah, you know what? I think a lot of people are out and about shopping for Hanukkah and or Christmas, and maybe you're at a loss on what to get that special someone, or your mother, your father, your brother-in-law, whoever it might be. So I compiled a small list of things that I enjoy, and I thought the listeners might enjoy as well. So I have to say, prior to me giving the recommendations, that these companies have no way, shape, or form have paid me to say this on the Pete and Sebastian show. So,
let's get some good music. Sebastian's recommendations for the holiday season.
For our coffee drinkers out there, and I know you love your coffee.
Yes.
I recommend a Nespresso machine.
Yeah, oh, Jackie's trying to sell me on that too.
Okay, so first of all, what are you using at the house for your coffee? How do you, what do you do?
I would make your old man proud, I would imagine. I press it. Every morning I boil it in a tea kettle. I put 3 huge dumps of dark roast in a press, pour it in, mix it up, and press it, and I have Taw Beach, baby. Taw.
Wow, so you're going press.
Press. That's how you get your best, strongest, real cup of coffee. Jackie's telling me this Nespresso machine, like you're saying.
No, wait.
Nespresso, come on.
What'd you call it? What'd you call it, though?
I said Nespresso.
Nespresso. There we go. Another one. Another one, Lou. Pete's getting the competitor's Nespresso machine.
Yes, I'm getting the no frills one. But please tell me more. I apologize, but I hear fantastic things.
That's okay. It's $249. It's an expensive gift, but it makes coffee. It makes a cup of coffee, and it makes espresso. So you could get instead of making a whole pot, you make a cup. And I like the Piano Black Evolu Deluxe. Comes with a 1-year warranty. And you can find it at any retail outlet of Macy's or Williams Sonoma. And it's a nice little gift for someone who drinks coffee.
Can I ask you a question about the warranty? How do you think they come up with those? I always wonder about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, do they build it and they look at it and go, yeah, this has got about a year.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it'll probably last about a little more than a year, so we'll say a year. It'll probably die right after the warranty. It's like a betting line.
Yeah, yeah. But do you ever get the extended?
No. It's like... That's basically they're saying, listen, I'm not going to lie to you. Fucking thing's going to break in 4 years. But if you pay extra money when it does break, we'll hook you up. Half the time, too, they go to extend the warranty and you're looking at the place going, I'm thinking this business, this company might not even be around in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
George Foreman Grill. Who's getting an extended warranty on a Foreman Grill?
Yeah, I guarantee you, though, this Nespresso is going to be around for a long, long time.
Yeah.
The major competitor is Keurig, and I can't stand it. The Keurig sucks, in my opinion. Nespresso is the way to go. They are owned by Nestle Corporation, and I don't see Nestle going anywhere soon.
There you go, folks. Great, great gift for a husband, wife, boyfriend, or girlfriend who loves their coffee or espresso.
Here's something that I don't think a lot of people think of, and it was given to me about 2 years ago by my father. A subscription to Consumer Reports. And I'll tell you why I like this gift. This gift is 12 gifts over the year, really. Once a month, you get a magazine. It doesn't have to be Consumer Reports. It could be, you know, Motor Trend, GQ, a travel magazine, whatever that person interests are, you get him a magazine, and it comes once a month. It's a little surprise, and every time it comes, you think of the person who got it for you.
Yeah, that's a good one. Magazine subscription, 12 gifts in one.
12 gifts in one.
Magazines are very pricey. I'll be in a store and I see a magazine cover and I think about buying it. You turn them over. What did he have? $9.95? What is this, a novel?
Yeah.
Holy shit, man. Such a great gift.
I hear that. Here's one. And we've talked about this on the cast before. A little pricey, but well worth it for that special someone. Creed Cologne, the Bois du Portugal, and that is the scent of our wonderful late friend, and I'm paying homage to the man because he turned 100 years old within the last few days. That's Frank Sinatra's cologne.
Oh, there you go. I mean, that's... I love that. I would love that. Who wouldn't want to smell like Frank Sinatra?
Oh, my God. I last time I was in New York, the guy gave me a little sample to take home. Oh, wow. When this thing sits on you, at first it comes on strong, but when it sits on you, oh, man, is the aroma beautiful.
Does Biba have a cologne yet?
Not yet.
Well, then we go with the Sinatra one. By the way, I was on a plane the other day. This is one of those where you would say, I'm sorry, but I would never be this guy. I've never been this guy. Guys sitting behind me, three of them, and I hear one of them say, do you smell that? And he was obviously talking about person. And the other guy goes, is that me? It could be me. And then the guy goes, no, it's not you. Like, he checked. When someone says, what's that smell? Or something like, let me tell you, it's never me.
Oh. God, is it never me?
Right? Never.
Never. No.
So, like, if you think it potentially could be you, I just, it's a world I don't know.
Well, I gotta tell you, though, it is me when it's good. When someone goes, you smell it? And then, yeah. Oh, it smells unbelievable. Where's that coming from?
Now, I want to know the truth here because we are being honest with the consumer products. It's the holiday season. This cologne, if it wasn't what Sinatra wore, if it was instead what Ted Nugent wore, would you still love the scent? Honestly.
No.
Okay, so Sinatra has a lot to do. The fact that Frank wore this. Hey, listen, that's half the reason I used to drink Jack Daniels. I hear you.
Yeah.
There you go. If you want to smell like Frank.
Want to smell like Frank, that's the cologne. And I got my last gift idea. These are for our high-end clientele that listen to the cast.
Lana and Watt.
I'm going to recommend a beautiful piece of art from my wife, Lana Maniscalco.
Nice!
You can check out her work on her website. She does custom. She does, if you don't like anything that's on her website, she will actually create one and customize it to the colors that you enjoy.
How about that, man? Now there you go.
So it's give the gift of art. Go to lanagomez.com. It's all up there for you to see. And a nice little gift idea. Oh, I got her to come out of the room on that one. Is she crying? Are you crying?
No. Something in my eye.
What is it?
I need you to put, I'm sorry to be a pest, but we're in close quarters here today. I can't do any painting for anybody. It has to be within my style.
Oh yeah. I'm sorry. As I'm promoting my way, it has to be within her style. It's not like she's gonna draw you a photo of an ocean and a mountain. Within the medium that she works in, she will do a commissioned piece within her style. I'm sorry. I didn't make that clear.
I appreciate it.
Like, if Lana's listening, like, if I, let's say, I bought a new Aspen winter getaway, and I need a nice piece for my rustic, expensive log cabin to hang over the mantle.
All right, let me bring her out on this.
That's all I said.
Lana,
right?
Lana, we need you. Get out of here. So Pete's got a question. Mm-hmm. We got to get this art thing right, because we might be getting calls for people wanting you to whittle something. Here.
Basically how it works with the commissions normally is someone might find my work and go, oh, I love your work. So they already like my work. They're not trying to hire me to just do any painting in the world. They, you know, it's because they like what I do. So,
gotcha.
So then they typically send me photos of their space, or if I'm in the city, I go check out their space, and we have a phone call, and we discuss, you know, the vibe and what they're looking for, and colors that they want, and sometimes people send fabric swatches so I can match colors, and so I get loose guidance, but sure. But not too strict, and typically it's a little better if people find a piece that works perfectly. But oftentimes, right, what happens is they'll love a piece, but it's not the right size for the space that they want to put it.
Yeah.
So
something similar. They'll say something similar, but smaller or larger or whatever.
Right.
All right. I got it. That's it. I mean, that makes total sense. I mean, your hubby there's like, you want an elephant with wings? She'll do an elephant with wings. You want a rainbow? We'll do a rainbow.
There you have it, people. Coming from.
You have nothing. You got the whole commercial wrong.
I did get that wrong. She just had to clarify it a little bit.
Oh, a little bit. You're like, what you want? You should draw your car. You want a car? Whatever you want. No, yeah, she did clarify. Nice. There you go, the Christmas recommendations.
That's it. There you go, people. So that's that.
I need your opinion. This is so petty, and I'll play the message after, because I can't play it for you now. It's too annoying. But I don't even think you'll remember this. There's no reason you would. Literally, 4 years ago, right when we started the cast, like 3.5 years ago, I think. I don't know. But when I just moved out to L.A., long story short, there was a stereo guy in Dunkirk, and he went to add something to my stereo, and not only did what he add, I left town, what he added didn't work. I got an hour outside of town, and it didn't work. Then I turned my heating on, and he broke my heating and air condition. So I remember being somewhere in Denver, and I called back, and I'm like, guy, not only did what you put in for $150 not work, but then I had to get my heating and air conditioner fixed because you kicked that out, and it cost me another $80. I mean, I'm coming back to town in 2 months. I mean, forget the stereo. Just give me the $80 for the freaking da-da-da. So he calls me back at the time and leaves this message going, listen, sorry that happened, but I'm having trouble staying afloat. I'm going out of business, and pretty much my money guy's here now, and we're getting ready to... Looks like we're closing shop, and I'm closing up, and I'm sorry I can't pay. I'm going out of business, so sorry about that. So, you know, whatever. It's $80. I said to Jackie, I felt terrible, whatever. But so we always laugh, because ever since then, when we're back in town, he's still open. And then now I move home, and he's still open. And we're like, look at this guy. Right? So, but whatever. It is what it is. It's a little bullshit play. Dude, I got a message from the guy 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is 4 years later. Hey, this is Tom over at the stereo shop. I believe I owe you some money, man. I know I owe you some money. Give me a call, stop on by, and I'll get you that money, man.
What?
So, 4 years later. Where is this coming from?
I don't know.
Is that the weirdest shit? $80? 4 years later. So, you know, who needs $80, but like... I should call this guy and record it, right?
Get it. Go get the 80. Go get the 80 and then put that towards a Gomez painting.
I could do that. But, like, I just don't get it. I mean, it just seems real odd out of nowhere. This guy's saying he's got my money 4 years later. But
do you think this is a maybe... something that he's doing because he's an alcoholic and he's went to
rehab and he's going back and making right now?
No. If I had to guess, I think it's because he was really into this. He knew about the stand-up when I was there. He knew me from town doing stand-up and stuff, and he was really into that. So I'm wondering if maybe he saw the special or something, or heard the cast, or someone turned him on to the cast, and he went back to the beginning, because I might have talked about it the first couple of episodes. And maybe it's his way of going, oh, you want your little money? Here's your money. 4 years, I'll give you money.
Well, whatever it is, it's money. Go get it.
It is. You're right.
Okay, we taped the show yesterday, and after Sebastian inspired me to get my cash, I called up Tom at the Stereo Clinic. Check it out.
Hey, Pete. Hey, this is Tom over at the Stereo Clinic. You remember me? Hey, I owe you some money, buddy. I got some, so if you get a chance, give me a call or stop by, would you? Thank you. Bye.
There you go, baby. 4 years later, and I'm going into the Stereo Clinic to pick up my $50. Yeah, and let's be honest, man. I'm not giving it to the church. It's the holiday season. I'm drinking it.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
I gotta ask you a quick question, too. I'm watching a movie the other day. It was actually a good flick. Long story short, though, the main guy, like the head guy, he has one of these men taste his dinner before he eats it to make sure it's not poisoned. Yeah. And Jackie couldn't answer for me either. Do you think anybody eats Obama's food before he bites into it? Or it goes right from the kitchen right out to him?
I think what happens is those people are vetted. Well, I don't know. That's a good question. Does he have a taster? And if so, how do you get that job? You're basically saying, listen, you're going to take this job and you could die.
You could die. Or you could just eat fantastic fucking food the rest of your life.
Does he taste it and then pass it on to Obama? Or does he taste it and if it's good, he gets to finish the plate?
I don't know, man. Or does he taste it and go, well, good news, bad news. Good news, it's not poison. Bad news, it's fucking terrible. Too much salt.
Because I know when Obama came through Cleveland, he went to a restaurant and the guys came in there, like the Secret Service, and I think what the owner was telling me was he brings his own everything, fork, knife, they bring everything for him, even the ice, I think, if I'm not mistaken, if he wants ice, they bring the ice. And whatever they're going to make him, I think, is vetted in some way, shape, or form. If it's a roast beef sandwich, someone eats the roast beef. I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question.
Like, even if there's a pound of beef right there and I'm going to make Obama a burger, right? How do you know that I already didn't poison that beef before I fry it up?
I don't know. Yeah. Good question.
And, I mean, and if there is a guy who's like the taster of your food for you, I mean, are you particularly friendly with that guy? I mean, how awkward is that? It's good to see you, Bob.
Yeah,
I hope you make it through lunch.
What's the salary on that?
Right?
I mean, would you do the job, number one? And if you did, what are you getting paid a year on that?
I do the job for $1.75, benefits, 2 week vacation. And I get to travel wherever you go. Even if you don't need me to taste the food, even if we're going to your mother's house in Hawaii, I get to go to Hawaii. That's the perk.
How about this? Okay, I like where your head's at. I need $500,000, and I'm the taster through your entire presidency. And if I make it to the end,
yeah,
I get $500,000 for life. So if I make the 8 years without dying, I'm taken care of.
Yeah, you realize DJ Lou would do it for $20 at a carton of cigarettes.
Shut up!
Welcome back to Hannity. Tonight we close the show with a revelation of a long rumored but until now well-kept presidential secret. It comes to us courtesy of Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine, who just yesterday hosted a lunch on Capitol Hill for President Obama. The president declined to eat any of the food. Why? She says it's because, brace yourself, his food taster was not present. A food taster? It is good to be king. Well, the Daily Caller points out that the Secret Service declined, of course, to confirm the existence of a presidential food taster over the years. But it sounds like the senior senator from Maine just confirmed that remarkable fact, and you're paying for it.
He must be a communist.
All right, where are you at this weekend?
Oh, man, I'm playing Baltimore. Well, Magoobies in the Timonium, Maryland, man. Looking forward to that. And then shut down over the holidays.
Oh, God, doesn't it feel good?
Yeah.
Go to PeteCoriale.com. You can see all his upcoming dates in 2016. I am done. I'm done for the year. I'll start it back up January 15th at the Wilbur Theater in Boston. And then I'll be at the Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale on January 22nd, followed by the Tabernacle, which I'm really excited to play in Atlanta, Georgia, January 23rd.
And how many shows are you up to now at the Beacon?
Oh, thanks for asking. We are adding a seventh show at the at the Beacon Theater. It's going to go on sale today, actually, Friday, because we're airing the cast on Friday. And it's going Monday, May 9th at the Beacon, number 7.
But I tell you, within two more casts, you're going to be going. We're adding another one. It's going to be on Tuesday at 9:45 a.m. There'll be bagels. We'll be serving bagels and mimosas. Oh, that's a legendary run.
Yeah, legendary. It's good, man. It's good. I'm excited about it. So, yeah. Nice. That's that, and that's our cast for the week. Please share.
It was choppy, but we loved having
it. It's all right, man. Choppy, smooth. It is what it is.
Absolutely. Great hanging, though.
Take care, and tell your parents I said hello.
All right, man. And, dude, enjoy the holidays.
Absolutely.
Right, and, not that we're done. I mean, we're going to keep rattling.
Yeah, we'll be definitely back next week. For those who were asking, the eggnog recipe is on our fan page on Facebook. It's right there on the wall if you just scroll down. And if you do try it this year, please give me some video testimonials, anything. You drinking it, photos, Instagrams, whatever. It is. I want to know how it turned out. I know Pete's doing it for his family. So get on board with the eggnog recipe, people.
Absolutely.
All right, bro.
All right.
Take care.
Later, man.
The show has ended.
Toilet paper, paper towel, none of that, man.
Wow. That's fascinating.
I got good staff.